Good morning, church. Today is Vision Sunday. Traditionally, every first Sunday of the year is Vision Sunday for us. We have been doing this for the last 7 or 8 years. And during Vision Sunday, what we'll do is we'll share with you the plans that we have for this year, as well as to set a trajectory for the church for this year and beyond. As I was preparing this message, I felt very thankful to God. As I look back many years, I could see God's unseen hand working out His purpose to us in this church. And God is active and He is living in our midst. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is active and God is living in this church? We are more than just an organization. We are the body of Christ. And God is working in us and through us, even though we cannot see Him in our naked eyes. And I want to share with you the reason why I say that. And I want to bring you back to year 2004. I would say that year 2004 was the worst time in my life ever. I fell down from the corporate ladder. It's not this kind of ladder, but I just felt that the whole world just crumbled on me. Because I spent many years of my life just trying to chase corporate success. And in 2004, it was the time where I felt that I just collapsed. I just fell down from the ladder. And because of that, it really, really affected my health. I was having breathing difficulties. Sometimes it's so severe that I just have cold sweat. I just feel that I couldn't breathe. And I remember that I had that when I was young, and my mother took me to see the doctor, you know, to cure these breathing difficulties. But I went back to see the doctor, and the doctor checked everything. He said, "You are okay. Probably you are suffering from mental health problems. Something is affecting you inside that caused you to be unable to breathe." So the doctor gave me medication. And then one day, when I was in bed, something happened to me. In that night, I just felt that God was talking to me in a dream. And I remembered very clearly what God said to me in that dream. He said, "Son, do you remember that when you were young, you said to me that you will serve me? You will become a pastor and you will serve me." And I said, "God, I remember. I remember that." And God just said these few words to me. And that morning, I woke up and I suddenly felt that I was well. To me, that thing never happened to me very often. But in God's mercy, God has spoken to me twice in a dream. And Some of you may ask me, how do you know that it was God that was speaking to you? I just knew that it was God. I just do not know how to tell you that it was God. Just like Joseph, when an angel appeared to him in a dream, he knew that it was God asking him to do something. So I just woke up and I knew that it was God asking me to do something. And one thing that happened to me was after that dream, I suddenly felt well. I never had breathing difficulties anymore until today, 2004. Until now, I've never had breathing difficulties. God had miraculously healed me. But then I didn't know what was going to happen to me. God just said that, do you remember the promise that you have made to me? And then just a few, I forgot how long, maybe a few weeks of, in a very short time, was a manager who came from America and said that we wanted to set up an office in Penang. And we are looking for someone, and we want you to go back to Penang to set up that office. He threw me a lifeline. And I immediately knew that that was God's plan for me to come back to Penang. And then shortly after a few months, I packed my bags and I came back in 2004, sometime at the year end. And then I came back to this church. It's my home church, the church that I grew up in. At that time, I was in Singapore. And I came here. And then at that time, the church was looking for a chairman. Yeah, the Baptist church, in every 2 years, they will have a new committee, and there's a chairman, a vice chairman, treasurer, and so on and so forth. So the pastor at that time was Pastor Prem Kumar. So he asked me, he said, would you consider to be the chairman of this church? And I said, no, I just want to come back and we'll see how things work first. And then I turned him down. And then the business meeting came and they didn't manage to appoint a chairman because nobody wanted to be a chairman. And then 2 months later, another business meeting came and then they wanted to appoint a chairman again. And then Pastor Prem asked me and I said no. And then nothing happened. And then the third time when they were going to have a business meeting. So during that morning, I spoke to God and I was praying, and God said to me in my heart that I want you to take up the chairmanship. And I said, did I hear correctly? And said, God, it's embarrassing to go and ask for a position, you know, from the pastor. You know, actually, I don't really want it. And sure enough, when I came to church that Sunday morning, Pastor Prem called me to his office and he said, would you consider to be the chairman? And then I said to him, yes, I will, because I knew that God was already speaking to me. So I took up that chairmanship post. I forgot for how long, but not too long after that, Pastor Prem was diagnosed with cancer. And within 6 months, the Lord just took him home. And then, because of that, I became the by default leader. There's no pastor. And it was really one of the darkest times of Valleys Park Baptist Church. We didn't know what to do. Not seminary trained. Never preach. Don't know what to do. And then I went and see Dr. Thomas. And I told him this whole story that happened to him. I said to him that I think God is asking me to take up to be the pastor of this church. All these things happen. Then he affirmed me and he said that, Elvin, I think God is calling you to pastor this church. You have to take this seriously and prepare yourself to come and pastor the church. So in 2008, the church appointed me to be the pastor of Ferris Park Baptist Church. So it was at that time where I really didn't know what to do. Honestly, I've never pastored a church before. I've never been to the seminary. I didn't know what to do. But all I knew was that God was asking me to do this. So I just went back to God on my knees, and together with the leaders, I said, we have to pray to God for a direction for this church, for a vision. I remember that when we prayed, God spoke to us from two verses in the Bible. One verse was taken from Isaiah chapter 1, and another verse from Matthew chapter 5. And God said that something like, enough of despairing, enough of that. And God said this, that you are not a heart in a melon field, but you are a city on a hill. God said, you are not a heart in a melon field. You are not small, insignificant. It's not that you cannot do anything for me, but you are a city on a hill. This is what I am making you to be. This is what you are to be. You are not a hut in a melon field. You are a city on a hill. And this is how our church got this vision in 2008. Many of you have not heard this story before, and some of you have heard this many times. But it is important for us to know how God had spoken to us, how God had led us thus far through our very difficult times. God had never forsaken us. But God gave us a new vision. Thank you, James. Also, when I was preparing the message, I felt that God is saying to us, church, you have done well. You have done well in the past 8 years. Keep it up. God reminded me from this verse, from this passage of scripture taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It was a letter from Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Thessalonian church. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy commended them for their work produced by faith, for their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus. They did well despite the persecution that they were going through. Despite all odds, the church of Thessalonica actually did very well. And Paul commended them. And they became a model for Macedonia and Achaia. Church, I feel that this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. God says, well done. We have done well. We are not a failed church. But we are a great church. And I'm very proud to be part of Ferris Park Baptist Church. And I'm very proud to be the elder and the leader of this church. And there are many, many good things that we can celebrate today. And I want to say thank you to all of you. I know Jeremy, when he was preaching a few weeks ago, he said many thank yous to all of you. And I really want to say thank you from the very bottom of my heart, church. You have done well. There are just so many things that I can talk about today. But there are three things that I want to point out. And I have seen this. I have witnessed this. I saw how you work. And I have seen how you have loved people unconditionally. You have cared and you have loved the sick. Anyone. Whenever there is someone who is sick in this body, I see that people will just go and visit. People will just go and pray, and people will just go and walk with the family. Thank you for that. And I have seen you help people who are not so privileged in our midst. And also, many of you have served very faithfully. Very few in this church are paid. Many of us here are volunteers. And I would say that Ferris Park Baptist Church, perhaps we have the highest ratio of volunteers in the church. This is because we have intentionally set ourselves up this way. Even our leaders are not paid. And it is a labor of love. But I'm not saying that to be paid is wrong, okay? Please don't get me wrong. And every one of you, you gave your time, you gave your talent, you served faithfully, and you served cheerfully. Just the last VBS, we got about 50 over volunteers, even though some were from Dalat. And every Saturday morning, I see so many volunteers at Awana. Thank you, church. Thank you for your sacrifice. And we gave sacrificially. Whenever there is a need, you responded generously and graciously. I do not know what is the amount that we gave in 2015, but I suspect that we gave a lot. And even before 2015, our giving is one third. We gave about one third of our tithes and offering to missions. And I suspect that in 2015, this will exceed one third. It will probably be 40% or more. And we want to push ourselves. We want every dollar, maybe half of that will go into missions. And we want to measure the amount that we give to mission versus people that come to the Lord through our investment. Thank you for giving sacrificially. I want to give you the highlight of the past 3 years. How many of you here are with us more than 3 years? Okay. Some of you are very shy. Perhaps maybe 70 or 80% of you are with us for more than 3 years. And if you may remember, last year we had a team called first love. We felt that God was saying to us that, yeah, we have done many great things, you know. We have reached out to the poor. We have done mission with the migrants, with in Nepal and in different countries. We supported missionaries, but first love. We must do all these things out of a loving heart. And then in 2015, we also set out to form the Diakonos team. Okay, Diakonos is a Greek word that is that stands for servanthood. Servanthood, or in English word is deacons. We are still going through that process, right? And it will probably roll on to 2016. And in 2014, we relaunched the cells. And in this church here, we see cell groups as the basic discipling units. And we encourage as many of you as possible to be part of a cell. And in 2013, we installed elders. And we are very unlike a typical Baptist church. Okay, this church is actually governed by elders, and we did not just make the decision flippantly. We took about 2 years to study through the scriptures about what biblical leadership is, and it was through consensus and consultative with different leaders. And then we come to the conclusion that this is what God wants us to do for Ferris Park Baptist Church. This is something very new and something that is very bold for a Baptist church to do. But we believe that this is what God has asked us to do. But what is our theme for 2016? Joel asked me few days ago, Selvin, what is our theme for 2016? I said, come this Sunday, I will share with you our theme. And for this year, 2016, we will embark again on a new journey to discover our ethos. I believe all of us here know what our core values are, the three B's. The middle where the three circles converge. It is what I call the ethos or the characteristics of this church. This is how Oxford Dictionary defined what an ethos is. It says the ethos is a characteristic spirit of a culture, era, or community as manifested in its attitudes and aspirations. In one word, I think it is better defined as our distinctiveness. What is our distinctiveness? Or what is our hallmark? What is our signature? What is our uniqueness? What is our identity? This is the salt that I believe Jesus spoke about in Matthew 5:13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And you must not lose your saltiness. If I ask you, what is our distinctiveness? What is the distinctiveness of City on a Hill? You already look blur. What is our hallmark? What does it look like? What's our uniqueness? It is fuzzy, right? Perhaps we are not able to define now at this moment. So what we want to do is we want to discover what our ethos is. We need to crystallize our ethos. And we need everybody here, the family of God here, to be able to articulate what is special, what is unique, what is our distinctiveness as the city on a hill. So 2016, we're going to embark on a journey to discover our ethos. I can feel that some of you are already very blur. Yeah, this is not normal preaching like what Brother David Wong did last Sunday. He was just tell you stories and you get excited. Okay, but this is very important for us as well, right? So we need to understand this. So where was I? Okay, so this is how we are going to do this. Okay, we're going to have a process to help us to discover our ethos. Right? So the first step of this process is that we will do a study together. And this study is a Bible study. Okay, we are not going to copy it from another church or from somewhere. Okay, we're going to do an extensive study on the overarching themes of the Bible. So we are going back to the Bible to study about the big themes from Genesis to Revelation. And what does the study do? The study will inform us of our practices, and the study will provide us with a biblical framework for what we do. So as we begin to study, we will discover what God's purpose is for us, Ferris Park Baptist Church. And then as we discover what God wants us to do and His purpose, we will do an examination or an evaluation of our current practice. What we are doing today, and for what that is good, that is producing results, we will keep on doing. And we will also look at the things that we keep on doing and it's not producing any results. It's wasting a lot of resources. For that, we will stop doing. And then we will also look at the things that the Scripture says we should be doing and we are not doing. For that, we will start doing. So that is the evaluation process that we will be doing after the study. And after that, we will collate everything that we have learned from each one. And then we will put it together and that will become our ethos. That will become the core practices of this church. Just want to say something about this process. Many of you in your mind will be thinking, where did we get this from? Right? Church, we didn't invent this. This study was actually invented by the navigators. Right? So it was done by Bible experts within that organization. And then after they had done, they sent it to different other organizations to examine and to read whether what they are doing is the right thing. So, NAV, the navigators, do not know whether you are familiar here, but they were an organization that was started long time ago in the U.S. And after a while, they begin to have some problems. And they begin to find that they are no longer effective. So the leader at that time called all the other leaders to come together. and they created this study. And from that study, they actually reinvented themselves. And they actually became better after that. So, this study is actually Bible-based. It is scripture-based. It is not taken from other resources. Okay, it's, everything is taken from the Bible. So, there are no answers given. Yeah. There will only be questions. For every topic, there will be questions. And then there will be Bible verses. Okay, for example, this topic here, part 1 of section 6, talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in believer. Okay, the role of the Holy Spirit in the believer. So, the question is, review the New Testament passages on the Spirit's ministry to an individual believer. What ministries does he have that stand out to you? There are 9 passages from the Bible that is given for us to research for the answer. John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, Acts chapter 4, Romans 8, so on and so forth. Then, by going through all these scriptures, you discover the answer from the Word itself. As we begin to do this exercise, God will speak to us. And I have personally gone through this in the last 2.5 years together with a group of people. And we are just about 3 to 4 parts before we finish this exercise. So this is a bottom-up approach, right? This is the way we do things here in this church. We, as leaders, we don't come out with things and tell you to obey. And sometimes we do that, but most of the time, when it is a big thing like this, we will not use a top-down approach. We prefer a bottom-up approach. Means we do this together as a church. And then collectively, consultatively, we come out with what we agree and move forward together as a church. Because we respect that the church is the body, and every one of us here is a part of the body, not just the elders, not just the ministry leaders and the deacons. And this will be done with the whole church. And there are 6 big themes. We talk about the overarching themes that we will be going through. So these are the 6 themes, which is divided into 6 sections. Right? Section 1 is God and His revelation. Section 2 is God and His kingdom. Section 3 is God's purpose for His creation. Section 4 is God and His people. Section 5 is God's pursuit for the nations. And section 6 is the nature of ministry. There are 6 sections and altogether there are 41 parts. Usually it takes about 2 hours to complete 1 part. Right? And that's excluding the study. The 2 hours is just the discussion. So when you do your homework at home, probably that will take another 4 hours. So you can do the math. 6 times 41. How many hours that would be? So this is really serious Bible study. Right? And it is only for those who are committed. So this is an example of what's under section 1. Section 1 will start with an introduction. And then part 1 is God, who is He? very basic. Who is God? And then part two, is God really knowable? Can you know God? Can you have a relationship with God? And you research the scriptures. How is God knowable? And part three is about God and His glory. Part four is understand the scriptures. What is the word of God? I even hear some Christians say that this word written by men. That is true. Written by men, but it is breathed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's one of the ways that God speaks to us. I would say God speaks to me through the Word 90% of the time. If we don't know the Word, then how will we know that God is speaking to us? So who will be doing this exercise? The leaders, the elders, the deacons, the CG leaders, the ministry leaders, and including those leaders who do not have any title, right? But we recognize you as leaders because you have followers. No title doesn't mean that you are not a leader. A leader is characterized by followers. If you are a leader and you don't have followers, you are just taking a walk. Leaders must have followers. And for cell groups, we have reviewed this with some of the cell leaders. And we will let Seng Hock decide how to do this. Because some cell groups may think that this is too difficult for them. Yeah. So if you want to join this study, this is a good time to join a cell group. And what will this do for us? This will help us to stay relevant and to stay on the cutting edge. This will provide us with a working framework to lead this church into the future. I just want to say something more here. Church, I think you know that we are living in a changing world. The only thing that is constant, somebody said, except God, is change. The world is constantly changing, whether we like it or not. And change brings about challenges. And the church is not immune to change. We are not protected from change. Change affects everybody. You know, sometimes I really wish that life would be simpler. As when I was young, catching spiders, flying kites, and just playing all sorts of street games. And you know, in the past, when we send a van to the kampongs and the villages, and we can collect one full van of young people to come to the church youth fellowship. Quite easy. And at that time, we can just have an evangelistic rally, and we just have some dancers here and there, and speak a good message, and people will come. But times have changed. Today is so much harder to get people to come for these events. Why? Because so many things are clamoring for people's attention. Last time, there was only Hollywood that produce movies. Today you have the Korean, the last time it was only Hong Kong and Hollywood when I was young. Today movies come from all over. It's unprecedented. It's all clamoring for people's attention. Times have changed. And changing times call for something that is constant. Don't you agree? The only thing that is constant is God and His Word. God's Word will never change, and God will never change. Forms will change. The way we do things, methods will change, but function do not change. It is still the same gospel that we are preaching now, yesterday, today, and forever. But this gospel that we preach must be repackaged. We need a solution that can solve today and tomorrow's problem. The solution that we have, some of the practices have been passed down to us. These are probably good practices. I would not say that those are bad practices, but those practices are to solve yesterday's problem. And this may not be relevant for us today. So there is a need for us to do this exercise. For us to reevaluate and reinvent ourselves. And in closing, I want to share with you about these two companies, Kodak and Lego. One company failed to adapt to change and went bankrupt. Another company succeeded in adapting to change, reinvented themselves, and became successful. Everybody knows Kodak. We know the Kodak moment. We have bought films and we have used Kodak product all the time. But do you know that Kodak filed for bankruptcy in 2012. It is not that nobody is using the camera anymore. In fact, more and more people are using the camera today. It's just that they are not using camera that uses film. The irony is that Kodak's engineer who first discovered digital camera. But they failed to capitalize on it. They failed to change. They failed when the world have moved on into digital and they still stayed on analog. And in 2012, they filed for bankruptcy. And then on the other hand, there is this company, Lego. Do you know that Lego was also on the brink of bankruptcy in 2003? The company was in trouble. People were questioning, how could this little humble company that makes this humble little brick compete with iPad, iPhone, smartphones, Wii games, PS4, so on and so forth. But then, they reinvented themselves. They made movies. They created a playland. And recently, there was this crazy thing that was going on, and everybody was queuing up at Shell petrol station to buy the Lego toys. Everybody wants Lego. Amen, children. How did they manage to do that? They reinvented themselves, church. You know what is my greatest fear? My greatest fear is one day all the elders will come here and it will just be the few of us, and all the pews are empty, and all the mission work that we are doing will have to stop. If we fail to reinvent ourselves, this might happen to us. We have to embrace change. The world around us is changing, but the gospel doesn't change. God does not change. His word does not change. That's why in times of change, we need to anchor ourselves even more in the Word of God. This is what we want to do in 2016. We are going to study the Word of God. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us once again afresh. God, what do you want us to do as a church? We will submit to your Lordship. We will submit to your leadership. Jesus, you are Lord. We are only your servants. And we're going to obey what you tell us to do, no matter how hard it is. We're going to do what you ask us to do. And we trust that God is faithful to the church as he has been in the last so many years. God will help us. God is with us. And we will thrive. We will thrive if we obey the Lord. Amen. Happy 2016. And let us do this together. And let us put our hands on the plow. And together as the body of Christ, we are going to go where God wants us to go. Because only in Him is guaranteed success. Amen. Shall we? I know it's late, but you know, We just want to sing a song, you know. We just want to praise God, and as we close the service, Raymond, over to you. Thank you very much. Can we all stand?
Let's do Everlasting.
Sovereignty remains. You are. Adopting us to call upon your name. And every generation joins in song of faithful praise. One more time, in holiness you stand. In holiness you stand secure, to conscious duty stands. Unchanged by all the vanities of men. And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains.
Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to pray that 2016, oh Father, will be a victorious year for us, oh God, individually and as a church, oh Father. Lord, help us, Lord, to seek you first, oh Lord. Help us, O God, to fix our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, to seek after you, O God, like never before. Help us, Lord, to hunger and thirst, O God, for your presence each day, O Father. Father, create a new hunger in us, O God, to want to read your word, O Father. Help us not to be people who are just here, who are just read, O Father, that we will believe in faith and do what you tell us to do, O God. Father, let this year, O Father, be a year of harvest, a year of plentiful, O God. Father, even though the economy looks gloomy, O Father, things around us look gloomy, Father, I pray that you will shield your people, O God, from harm, O God, from danger, from anything, O God, that destroys our life, O God. Father, thousands may fall on our side, 10,000s, O God, but we will stand, O Father. We will stand and we will prosper in the name of Jesus, O Father. Thank you, Father. I pray that you will bless your people. Bless them greatly, O God. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Happy 2016. See you again next Sunday.